Episode 420 is going to be brought to you by Organifi.com. If you guys are familiar with making green juices, which probably most likely all of you are, you'll know how difficult it can be sometimes to get all the vegetables out, clean them off, clean up, make the juice, and do all that kind of stuff. Organifi is a way for you to save a ton of time where you don't have to do any shopping, you don't have to do any blending, no juicing, no cleanup. It's awesome stuff, and it's the best tasting green powder I've ever tried in my whole life. And it's a gently dried superfood green mix that completely dissolves in water. It's gluten-free, non-GMO, soy-free, vegan. It's awesome stuff. It's got a ton of superfoods, chlorella, moringa, spirulina, mint, beets, matcha green tea, wheatgrass, ashwagandha, turmeric. This is a great way to detoxify your body and get those alkaline minerals into your body on a daily basis. Super easy. And it's great for when you can't make a juice or you want to take something with you to work. It's great for kids. It tastes amazing. So check it out. ExtremeHealthRadio.com/Organifi. That's Organifi. Or it'll be available today on this website, ExtremeHealthRadio.com/420. Or it's available in our store as well. And episode 420 is also brought to you by SirThrival.com. Go over to SirThrival, check out their awesome products by our good friend and a longtime guest, Daniel Vitalis. They've got the elk velvet antler, the deer velvet antler, along with the pine pollen extract, dual extractions, meaning they've done extractions for this in the grape alcohol as well as the water extractions, and then they combine that together to a super, super potent mix that's going to be great for your hormones and regulating your hormones. They've got the colostrum that's incredible for your immune system. It's incredible for building growth factors and lining the gut. It's really good stuff. They've got the shaga. They've got the elk velvet, the reishi, dual extractions, and elk velvet. It's just amazing stuff. So go over there, ExtremeHealthRadio.com/SirThrival. Check out those products. I know you're going to love them. I love them. I take them all the time. I think you guys will love them too. They will be available in our store or at ExtremeHealthRadio.com/420. All right, let's get on with the show. You gotta wait for the chorus. You gotta have that little beat there, and you gotta wait for the chorus to come on.
Oh, you have a timing?
I got a timing. 39
seconds. You jump
seconds.
In on?
I jump in on every time.
That reminds me of when you used. Well, you didn't used to do this, I don't think. But girls on the playground growing up, we did the double Dutch jump rope.
Oh, I remember that.
That was really hard. I was thinking about it the other night, going to bed, out of all things, and I thought you had to really time this thing to jump in perfect. Otherwise, you're just gonna be a tangled mess.
So. It's all about timing.
So look at you. You got your timing down
today.
That's
right. It's all about timing.
I'm
proud of
you.
Talk to Adam Bergstrom about that.
Right.
All right. Well, we're glad to be here with you guys. This is going to be a fun show. This is episode 420. So if you would like to grab the show notes and listen to this show at a later date, it is extremehealthradio.com/420. And for reference, today is Friday, May 4th.
Yes, sir.
2016.
Yes, sir.
And we do broadcast live every Friday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So if you want to join us and meet some friends, talk to some cool people, and listen to the show and potentially get your questions answered, we try our best to ask all the questions in the chat room. Sometimes it's challenging, but nonetheless, you can make some great friends and join and listen and meet some other people that are interested in the same kind of wacky, crazy ideas that we're all interested in here. At Extreme Health Radio. Today we have Meridian Grace, a good friend of ours, who is in Texas, and we had the opportunity to spend some time with her and Dr. Massey a couple years ago when we got our teeth worked on by
Dr.
Stuart Nunley, who's our biological dentist. And if you guys are looking for a biological dentist, go see Stuart Nunley. He's out in Marble Falls, Texas. Amazing guy. We love him. And so when we were there, we got to hang out with Meridian and Dr. Massey at their home and had a great time. She's got 40 years of experience. She's done all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm looking at her bio here. Homotoxicology, microscopy, massage, psycho-spiritual counseling, neuro-linguistic programming, conscious communication techniques, detoxification programs. We're going to be talking about something really cool today called the four reactionary modes for detoxification. Speaking of that, all kinds of other words and phrases, I have no idea what they mean. Thanks so much, Meridian, for joining us.
Well, it was cute when I was listening to you with the little intro there, because, boy, a lot of that stuff is from my past, and there's so much more that we're doing now, you know?
Oh, right. My gosh. I know. And, you know, this list here that I have for you, color therapy, light therapy, sound, Chinese medicine, all kinds of... What is Vastu Energetics? What is that?
Vastu? Vastu Energetics has to do with understanding the individual body types from Ayurveda, and then working with the body from that kind of a point of view.
That's interesting.
So it's the Vastu.
That's interesting. You guys, you have so much knowledge in all these different areas. But you said that more recently you are, moving beyond all of this and doing some other things.
Well, I don't know that it's beyond, but mm-hmm. You know how your passions kind of open and shift and change with as we grow and get more interested in things, and we discover what works and what doesn't work and what we have an affinity to.
Mm-hmm.
And so new doorways are opening. And then, of course, the things that have really managed to make a huge difference all these years have stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those things I wanted to talk about today, which is those four reactionary modes.
Yeah, you were briefly explaining that before we went on the air. And so it's the four reactionary modes for detoxification?
Yeah, it's more than just for detoxification. It's
okay.
One of those things that helps us to understand our uniqueness. And one of the most important parts of the reactionary modes is that when you understand it, you'll know that it's that we want to detox you very differently depending upon your reactionary mode. It's like what you can handle and what you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And our bodies will release toxins in different ways depending upon what mode we're in. So it's kind of fun to explore these different personalities, these different types of these four reactionary modes. And in traditional homeopathy, there's a lot of similarity to what's called the miasms, the four primary miasms.
Now, what are those?
Miasms have to do with the inherited strengths and weaknesses we get from our ancestry.
Mm.
Okay.
And they're based on diseases, interestingly enough, because if you survive a disease and can procreate, then your body has learned a special way of dealing with those types of challenges. It develops a special kind of strength, but also for many, there's a weakness that comes about because of that.
Interesting. Hmm. So like what would an example be like in that case of overcoming a miasm?
Well, these are major diseases we're talking about. We're talking about things like syphilis and gonorrhea.
Okay.
And tuberculosis. Those are the big ones. And then the other one they talk about is SORA, or having to do with scabies.
Hmm.
So if someone overcomes tuberculosis, say, for example...
And then has children.
Is that part of this? Is that part of the system? Is that they would have to have children afterwards in order to
keep it going?
To pass on the genes, yeah.
Okay. And so how does a miasm fit in with that?
Well, this is, again, it's involved with genetics. So the four reactionary modes have a similarity to the reactionary mode. So let me give you a little bit of an idea. Let's make it a little bit more tangible instead of conceptual here, so you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about. So we're going to start from what we might consider to be the strongest and healthiest person and go down to the weakest.
Okay.
And the first two modes, when we have challenges, they deal with our function of our organs and our tissues. The second two modes have to do with our organs actually being broken down, destroyed, and eventually dying.
Okay.
Okay. So the first reactionary mode is, it's kind of hard to find people who are fully in reactionary mode number one anymore because of the way that we live, because of our EMFs, because of all the stuff that y'all talk about all the time on your show, right?
Right, right.
You know, we're not living in tune with Mother Nature anymore.
Right.
From the simplest things, like we're not going to bed with the sun and getting up with the sun. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, you know, think about the sun as being something that's harmful to us. We have to protect ourselves from too much sun rays. But the sun is actually a nourishing element
mm-hmm.
to our bodies that our ancestors have known about forever. And people slowly build their skin up to be able to tolerate more sun if you're in an environment that allows for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's profound nourishment of what we call the gel levels of the tissue. And that has everything to do with our arteries and our hearts and the circulation of our bodies. But here I go already off to another little thing.
Okay. It's hard to stay
it
on the ground here.
It happens easy.
So somebody who's a reactionary mode number one, these are people with tremendous vitality, energy, strength.
Okay.
They do not have much discernment. Whatever comes to their mind, they blurt it out. They can seem nasty because they'll just tell you if they're angry about something.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I've been doing some work with an Israeli family and they warned me. Their personality is like, please don't take us, you know, like don't take offense to us.
Right.
They're just really, they blurt out whatever comes to their mind. And then if they recognize they've hurt your feelings, they might make it up to you really quickly.
Okay.
But they just, everything comes out really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have tremendous energy, vitality. They can get away with more than anybody else. You know, those people that can drink stuff that we can't or eat things that we can't and they stay totally healthy. And
it's like George Burns, you know, the comedian George Burns, you know, is 102 years old
smoking
cigars till he died.
Right. Right. So he's probably a reactionary mode number one most of his life.
Okay.
And the cool thing about them is if they overdo it, like if he went out debauching and drinking too much and smoking too much in the day and, you know, eating a bunch of the wrong food for his body type, whatever that was, like mm-hmm. a ton of sugar, Twinkies or something like that, he might vomit intensively and spike a really high fever. And within 24 hours, he might be in bed for 24 hours, moaning and groaning because they're very dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And then 24 hours later, he would actually feel healthier than he did the day before.
Hmm.
Because his body can handle intense detox. And they're the only body type that has the capacity of a high fever.
Okay.
It's pretty wild.
So like how high of a fever can they go?
They can go to 104.
Whoa.
Whoa.
And actually not be hurt by it. They're not going to be having a good time with it. But their bodies will spike that and go through. And it's not typical that they're going to have 104. Hardly anybody does that anymore. But they could potentially go there.
Now, I don't want to get off track too much, but is there any correlation with this kind of a person and an Ayurvedic body type?
It's just that they're so fiery, you know, okay. So the fiery part would be more, more pitta, but possibly pitta.
Okay.
A really strong, healthy pitta.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
But it would be more somebody who's more tridoshic because they'd have this incredible power, strength, and balance, really.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, they just live life intensely and can get away with it. And they're very dramatic and pretty selfish, basically. You know, they put themselves first. That's not necessarily selfish. It can be a good quality.
Right.
But anyway, this capacity to just release through the methods that we were designed to release through the bowels, they can sweat like crazy. These are people that, you know, oftentimes need to change their shirts during the day, even if they're not in hot outside in the heat working.
Hmm.
Okay.
So they perspire really well. All their channels are open. And these are the people that are designed for heavy duty detoxes.
Okay.
These people will feel fantastic, you know, doing a liver gallbladder flush, doing a psyllium seed husk bentonite clay fast, and you know, that sort of thing. They okay. feel great with what we call classical detoxes.
Okay.
Doing the lemon maple syrup thing, mm-hmm. you know, they can handle it. Their bodies will do really, really well. They can go in saunas for long periods of time, all that sort of thing.
Interesting. Okay.
Because all these doors are open. Now, when we get to reactionary mode number two, we have somebody who's still detoxing through all these channels, but there's blockages.
Sounds like me.
Yeah.
I have a methylation issue. Would that be me?
It could be, honey. It could be. It depends upon how your body's dealing with the methylation issue.
Gotcha.
So, you know, reactionary mode number two is, you could kind of use the term hypo for them.
Okay.
Because things are slower because and more sluggish because there's more stuff that's not being cleared out. So the bowels may not be working as well. You may not break a sweat easily, but you can typically break a sweat as a reactionary mode number two unless you're getting closer to a three.
Interesting.
You might need to sleep a lot more than a reactionary mode number one person. And it may be a little bit more challenging for you to get up and a little bit more challenging for you to fall asleep. We would tend to say that this is a person who has a little bit of weakening of the adrenal glands.
Okay. Kate's shaking her head here.
I'm like, yep, check, 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 check.
Check, check,
yep,
check, check.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we want to be more careful with you when we do cleanses. And I like to bring in more energetic remedies when we're starting to work with a person who's a reactionary mode number two.
Okay.
So when I talk about energetic remedies, these are things that we don't know about that much in the United States. They're really common in Europe. And it's a whole quality of working with plants and recognizing that they have qualities that are far more than that meets the eye.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the bud of the plant itself is the stem cell of the plant. And so, for instance, like let's say cleavers. Cleavers is a very common herb. It grows all over the place. It sticks on your clothes in the springtime.
Okay.
You probably have them in California.
Mm-hmm.
They're a real pain in the ass in Texas.
I bet. Yeah, they're everywhere.
And for guys who have hairy legs, I don't know how they deal with it.
Well, and Justin's got problems.
I've got problems.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, these little cleavers stick to you, but just before they bud... Just before they go into flower, when the bud is just about ready to open, they have the most powerful qualities. And cleavers has a particular quality of being a fantastic diuretic. It's very healing to the kidney. And recently I have a young man who has quite an interesting infection going on in his inner arm.
Hmm.
And it also makes a great poultice to help draw toxins out of the skin. So we were playing with making poultices for that. But the interesting thing is each part of the plant has a different quality, which was recognized by the ancients. And Rudolf Steiner, if you're familiar with him in anthroposophical medicine, he really understood that each plant not only has a relationship to specific organs,
mm-hmm.
but those organs have a relationship to different planets. And those planets have relationship to different times during the day and different seasons of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've heard a lot about that. There's a lot of people talking about that kind of stuff these days.
Well, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
So these kinds of remedies that I'm talking about, in particular, I'm talking about gemotherapy and phytotherapy right now. These plants are gathered in the beginning of spring, generally, when they have the most power and energy. And depending upon which organ they are, the time of day is going to be decided. If we're working with the buds, we have to wait till just before the bud is ready to open. We could also be using the sap, or we could be using the young shoots that are coming, depending upon the quality that we're looking for. Okay?
Okay.
And we would use these different remedies to help to move somebody from a reactionary mode number two into the strength of a number one.
Interesting. So is that where we all want to be, is it in a number one?
We do want to be in a number one for detoxing, for cleansing.
Okay.
Yeah. Not necessarily personality-wise.
So anyone can get into a number one no matter what their dosha to in order to detox mode?
Yes, you can. You can slowly but surely help to open up the power of a new word I'm going to teach you, but you might know. but for those of you who don't, it's called emunctories.
I've never heard that word.
I've never heard that.
How do you say it? Emunctories?
Emunctories.
Emunctories. How do you spell that?
E-M, I think, okay. U-N-C-T-O-R-Y, or I'd have to look at it, but I think that's right.
Okay.
So the idea of an emunctory is that it has to do with the ability of tissues to open and release on a microscopic level.
Okay.
Membranes are emunctories. And emunctories have to do with the release of toxins, be they made inside of our bodies or they come from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So we have membranes on all of our cells. We have membranes on our mitochondria, which are really interesting also. And most of our membranes are bilipid. That's why there's so much talk now and beginning to understand why people were so much healthier in the days when they ate lots of animal fat.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had what they needed to create these healthy lipid membranes.
Okay.
And these membranes allow for the nutrients to get into the cell and the toxins to move out of the cell.
Yeah, so the membranes, isn't there like a double layer?
Yeah, they're called
bilipids, yeah.
Yeah, bilipid membranes.
Mm-hmm.
So two different types of fat, and one has more of a propensity for water and the other more for fat. And they one's facing out and one's facing in.
Interesting.
It's really fascinating the way they work. They're really quite beautiful. You can go online these days and look at YouTubes and actually see them through electron microscopes doing their thing.
Wow.
It's quite exciting, that aspect of technology for us. So these emunctories allow for things to come in and out of them. And we talk about also organs as emunctories because they're cleansing emunctories or cleansing organs. So we have the primary ones, three primaries. This is like from a European point of view.
For cleansing, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are the liver, the kidney, and the lymphatic system.
Okay.
And we need these to be really open and doing their job in order to cleanse the rest of the body.
Okay, that makes sense.
Now, just to give you an idea, here's the liver is in control of the detoxification for not only the liver and the gallbladder, but for your joints, the musculoskeletal system, your digestive system, your lungs, your sinuses, and your eyesight and your ability to see is registered through your liver and gallbladder.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, I mean, mm-hmm. those are your biggest digestive organs, huh?
Yeah, and the liver, they say, is, don't they say that's one of the, I mean, I don't know how people say this, but they say the liver is the most important organ. I tend to think that they're all pretty important.
they're all really important, and we want them all. But the liver is really important for cleansing, and it does a gazillion things. That's my technical statement.
Yeah. A gazillion things.
But the liver is so very important to us, but having the energetic openings that the emunctories are open in the liver is so terribly important for us to be able to function well. And so what so many people will do is they'll have joint problems and they'll just take stuff for joints.
Mm-hmm.
But what they can do is create this huge backlog of toxins then that the liver can't handle.
Okay.
So before you touch a joint, you have to make sure that the liver's open.
Hmm.
Okay.
Now, I had a history of intensive detoxification. I was deemed a detoxaholic by some of my mentors.
No, you?
Me! A detoxaholic.
A detoxaholic. I like that.
That's good. I was a raw food vegan, and I did 21-day water fasts 4 times a year.
Wow.
When I started working with clients, every time I put somebody on a liver gallbladder flush, I went ahead and did it along with them.
Okay.
Every time I put someone on a colon cleanse with psyllium seed husk and bentonite clay and just drinking juices and water,
mm-hmm.
I did it with them.
You were right there with them.
I was right there with them. I mean, I did so much detox. It was crazy.
Wow.
And so when I got arthritis in my early 30s, I just said, what's going on here? And I learned about this system maybe a little bit before that and said, well, I've been doing all this liver gallbladder flushes. I don't need to do anything else. I'll just go right into working on my joints.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point where I couldn't even stand up because the overload of toxins to my liver would not allow them to come into the liver, so the joints got even more overloaded.
So you're saying the nutrients that you were taking for your joints weren't being able to be processed through your liver?
That's right. Okay. And typically, you know, most of us don't understand this, but the liver will actually, I mean, the joints will actually hold all kinds of toxic material for us, particularly virus is known for to be held in the joints.
And those are typically like in between the joints or right in the joints, I guess?
You know, I would have to look up the science about it, but I'm sure it's intracellular somehow.
Well, it makes a lot of sense because you think about the joints, you know, if there's going to be a toxicity in the body anywhere, it seems to make a lot of sense to me that the body would be smart enough to put it in an area where...
Away from your major organs.
Yeah, so. You know, that would make sense.
Yeah. So joints hold a specific type of toxin. Each of our, like... It's amazing inside of our bones, like the bone marrow, the kind of crap that we get stuck, that gets stuck in the bone marrow. And mm-hmm. that is not even looked at in the United States. It's a major consideration in Europe. Hmm. But having healthy bone marrow is so important for healthy blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the blood carries everything through the body. So, I mean, we store lead like crazy in the bone marrow.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I've heard people getting
lead in the bone marrow.
Older people getting, you know, breaking their hips and getting surgery, or even just younger people, but they would probably have, well, potentially less toxins. But when people break their bones, a lot of these toxins get distributed
released
in the bloodstream.
Into the bloodstream. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I don't think I've ever thought
That's
about
amazing.
That or heard that.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. It's pretty amazing the way our bodies are constantly trying to protect us from the crazy things we're doing.
I know. It's like we're trying to kill ourselves. We're trying our hardest. The body's just resisting the whole time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
My mentor was talking about a course that he was taking in medical school with on the kidney. And the professor was telling them that the most esteemed kidney doctor would have nowhere near, maybe 1/1,000th of the intelligence of one kidney cell.
Mm.
Of one cell.
Yeah. Because our kidneys, our bodies have more wisdom than any of our minds can conceive of. And what they're doing for us in every moment, I mean... Just a moment for gratitude here. I mean, our bodies are doing millions and billions of things every second that we're talking right now.
Mm-hmm.
From, you know, dealing with the food that we ate, the air that we're breathing, creating new cells, getting rid of old cells, detoxifying them, clearing them out in a way that won't harm us, making our mitochondria work, doing all the communications that need to happen for our mouths to move. I'm talking with my hands while I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
How are we functioning? It's so crazy.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
So miraculous.
It really, really is. So... A second, even if you're really horrendously sick right now, for just gratitude for all the things your body is doing for you right this moment to keep you alive.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
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 And then, you know, let's get smart about honoring this process and making it easier for the body. Let's make sure our emunctories, the primaries, are open, the liver, the kidney, and the lymphatic system before we start going after other aspects of the body. So I know our culture is set up where we want to just have immediate results and we want to see things change yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
When we work this way, it takes longer, but it works deeply. It's kind of like talking about slow food instead of fast food.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, but it has nourishing qualities on levels that we can only imagine. So when we work with remedies that have been understood and worked on through millennium to have these subtle energetic qualities that will work deeply into these emunctories and help to open the doors so that the body can release the toxins,
mm-hmm.
we are so much better off. I like to tell people that, you know, you can, if you want to, knock a hole in the door in order and walk through it in order to get into the other room, but it's so much easier to just open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So if you're a reactionary mode number 4, you'd have to break down the door to get into the other room. And we haven't talked about 4s yet, but.
So now so you said at the beginning that there's these emunctories for other things. I'm sorry, the 4 reactionary modes, it's not necessarily just for detoxification, but with these emunctories, are they in other organs as well, or just the liver?
Yeah, there's emunctories part. It's part of every cell as well.
Every cell.
There's the primary emunctories, and those 3 are the primaries.
Okay.
The liver, the kidney, and the lymphatic system.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that we have what we need open so that we can accomplish what we need to accomplish.
I think people get really scared. I mean, there's someone I'm going back and forth with in the chat room talking about with all these issues that cause us such grave diseases and make us so uncomfortable. It can be a really scary thing to think about these pathways opening. So you're saying if it's done in the right way, it doesn't need to be something to be feared, right?
No, it's done. That's the whole thing, honey. We want to do it gently.
Right.
And we want to honor the reactionary mode that you're in. We work very differently with the reactionary mode number 1 person than a 2 person.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's a good idea if you're a low 2 or you're definitely a 3 or a 4, that you're getting some support from somebody who knows what they're doing so that you're in really close communication. And I want to encourage all of you, whoever you're working with, whatever practitioner, that you keep a log of the changes that are happening for you so that you can share those with your practitioner so they know what's going on. Because if they don't know what's going on with you, how can they help you?
So do you mean by like a log, like something that people can track what they're eating and how they're feeling and how their digestion is and all that kind of stuff?
Right, right. Like okay. I use something that I call diet check records. And I use this little piece for almost everything I'm doing with people, from not only their diet, but changes in their supplementation as well.
Okay.
And there's a whole checklist of things that have to do with our cravings for foods and things, and our energy levels, whether we're tired, whether we have lots of energy, whether we're hyper but tired underneath, whether we have mental clarity, whether we're brain fogged out, whether we have a brain dead, you know, if our memory is giving us a really hard time. And making a little list on the left-hand side of what we ate, how much we ate, and we check these things out like 2 hours after we eat.
Okay. Is that when stuff usually starts affecting you?
Yes, so you can find out what's working for you and what isn't.
Okay.
And for people who are willing to, I like to start them with, you know, a food that makes sense, that we know is a pretty much a, you know, a nourishing, easy to digest food, and then add foods in one at a time.
Okay.
And see what happens, you know, so that we can check that. But also we can do the same thing with supplements.
Hmm.
Once we've found our foundation, once we have our nutritional foundation, you know, set up for us,
right,
then we can play with adding a supplement. And we're very different in the morning than we are at night. Part of the way that I work with supplementation is what I call diphasic. So that we take different supplements in the morning because we have a whole day of utilizing energy.
Right, right.
Right? So we're going to be burning.
Right.
And then at night, we're supposed to be rebuilding, healing, and sealing and supporting the nourishment of the body while we sleep and the movement of toxins.
Right. So Is, I don't know if I how to word this right, but is it a bad idea for anyone off the street to throw some supplements in their body and assuming that it's going to do them good? Can that do them harm?
It depends upon if you're a reactionary mode number one or not. You can get
right,
away with
it. Right. It goes so many levels deep, huh? Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But number three or four might feel really bad if they don't get the right thing for themselves. And one of our biggest challenges in this day and age is we don't take the time to really tune in to what's going on for us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you are really in tune, you could pick up a supplement or even put a supplement on your tongue and you would feel whether it was right for you or not.
Oh my gosh. So we should be that sensitive. We should be able to tune into our bodies that much.
But we're not.
But we're not, right.
Except for unless you are. I mean, and I have people who walk in here who are. You know, they're usually reactionary mode number three people. They're hypersensitive. They know if they do, you know, one little thing off and they can feel it,
yeah,
they're
mm-hmm.
in trouble.
Right.
Like I spent 3 years backpacking in the woods when I was really young. And when I came out of the woods, and this was in the early 70s.
How long did you say? 3 months?
3 years.
No, three years. She doesn't mess around with
I
months.
I thought she said that, and then I thought, wait a minute.
She's going for years.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I would come in every 3 months to get supplies and go back out again.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, so wow. I was with a crazy man, and we just really wanted to experience all this. And it was a very important part of my life. I learned a lot.
It's always a man that makes people do these things, isn't it?
I know. I would not have even thought of it, you know?
Wow.
That's awesome. I'm a warrior for 3 years, so.
What an adventure. Holy moly.
I did an adventure, I'll tell you.
I bet.
But when I came back into, you know, society, mm-hmm. and I could not sleep inside of a house. This is before Wi-Fi. This is before computers. But just the electricity running through the walls, my body had become so sensitive. And I realized how our lifestyle numbs us down mm-hmm. to such an incredible degree. It took a year. And then now I'm back living in a house. And mm-hmm. of course, I do all kinds of protective stuff for EMFs and things. But it's just amazing to me the kind of sensitivity that we have, that we're capable of, let's just say that, mm-hmm. that we've numbed down.
Yeah, I agree with that.
In order to be able to live the way we live.
Yeah, because, yeah, like you said, we're being numbed down, and
I can't imagine.
Makes a lot of sense.
I can't imagine 3 years. I just went away for a four-day solitude retreat, and I came home, and it's just an onslaught of my nervous system coming back into just a yeah. concrete jungle, and it's so good to be reminded of where we came from and how we're really supposed to be living.
Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. Kate, it's just so amazing. I know.
It's horrifying, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. On one level, but then there's right. also these incredible benefits, like what we're doing right now.
Yes, mm-hmm. you're right.
So I guess we need to look at what's most important.
I have
my
a question.
Son's getting ready to go off into the world and possibly build off grid in the middle of nowhere.
Really?
Yeah. We'll see if he does or not, but he's
keep
talking about
it.
Can we join him? Can you send us a map and we can find it off-grid? An
yeah,
off-grid map?
Sure. Well, once he gets it together, my friends will want to come and help him build.
I love it. So but, Kate has a question.
Well, going into the other phases and things, I want to know, before people, maybe a lot of people actually have just joined the chat room, to find out what type you are, is that possible? I mean, do you fill out a questionnaire or are you just talking with a practitioner who knows this stuff so well they can pinpoint you, or is it some other way to identify what type you are?
Good one.
Well, yeah, Kate, first of all, I'm going to start out by saying that it's not hard to figure out which mode you are once we talk about this.
Okay, because I picked up on mine very easy when you were, yeah. Okay.
And, Justin and I are talking about possibly doing some things together to create some educational materials for people to do this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that gets a little bit more complicated is that we can have certain organs operating at a level one, certain at a two, certain at a four. So,
For
instance, I have a young man who's 27 years old who's come to see me, and he has Crohn's disease, and he just had a resection of his bowel, and he has fistula.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, yeah. So the process where the body's breaking itself down is level four.
Mm-hmm.
When the organs are breaking down, when there's channels forming inside the body to you know, send it out. When mm-hmm. you see people who have thickened tissues, you know, like really thick toenails and funguses. Funguses are level four.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's like molding, right? Your body's molding out. Okay. Right.
It's breaking down.
Right.
It's literally breaking down the tissue. You know, when you see people with things like big boils and, you know, big watery secretions and things like that, and big edemas and things, that tends to be more like reactionary mode number two.
Okay. What's a thin skin? People who bleed really easy, is that a bad thing, or is that a breaking down, or is that just a person-to-person thing? It's not a big deal.
Well, it could actually be considered like a reactionary mode number three.
Okay.
As we get older, I think it's women more in particular, but I've seen it in men too. There's something called purpura hemorrhagia.
Okay.
And those are like those big kind of reddy black spots you might see on older people's arms.
Yeah. Everyone seems to have that at some age, don't they?
Weren't we told those were liver spots?
Those are different. Liver spots are more like
very different.
Yeah,
These go away. These are actually like an intense bruise.
Yes.
Okay.
It's kind of scary. And it seems like almost every older person I've ever come in contact with has those.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
It's most likely because, from my point of view, they don't understand about the gel level of water in their bodies.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you guys somebody wonderful to talk to about all this stuff.
Oh, the gel. Great.
Gel levels. He's an anthroposophical doctor in San Francisco.
Oh.
And he's going to talk to you about how the heart is not a pump.
Oh,
we've been learning about this for quite some time. Okay. Yeah.
So I think we introduced Patrick to him too. And anyway, he's a fabulous, fabulous, brilliant, fun doctor. And he's doing some really cutting edge, exciting work.
Interesting. Okay.
The heart is not a pump. Wow. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, we're supposed to have a balanced skin thickness. You know, soft, supple, smooth skin. You know the skin of a baby, right?
Yep.
And that's how we're supposed to be. And so if the skin gets really thick and hard and crusted, you know, that's more like reactionary mode number four type stuff.
Okay.
But when the skin is too thin, then it doesn't have the type of protection it needs against the world either, right?
Hmm.
Our skin is a barrier to protect us from the outside and to keep what's on the inside that needs to be there. But it also is not a total barrier because it has the ability to release toxins out through it in the form of sweat and bringing those toxins out through the sweat.
Okay.
But it also, if you put something on the skin, it absorbs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very complex kind of a emunctory.
Is that going into, I want to debunk this. When we put on lotions and creams, I mean, I know that stuff with a bunch of chemicals is sitting on your skin and going in, penetrating. Is it actually going into your bloodstream?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
So I've heard. I just always wondered if that was true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have to be really careful. And for a lot of different things, like I used to do a lot of work with DMSO, Stanley Abrams, who is the big researcher from Harvard, who developed fabulous work with DMSO, is a dear friend of mine, and I was part of his research study. And I was always so shocked because I would use it on people's pain areas. And I knew DMSO was really good for me, so I just went ahead and used my hands to apply it. The second I touched the DMSO, I tasted it.
Oh, gosh.
Really?
Yeah. Now, it's known for its capacity to draw anything into the tissue deeply, quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But that just shows you that we have that capacity. And a lot of people will tell me if they're going to be doing some work like at the bottom of their feet, which is a great way to get like certain essential oils, or if you're sick, to put some garlic, like in the under part of your foot. They can taste it really quickly in their
mouths. I've never done that, but I've heard people can do that. It's pretty fascinating.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a great way to work is through the feet, especially if you have headaches or sinus issues. There's a process called warming socks, where you just take two pairs of socks, one cotton and one wool, and you put the cotton ones in lukewarm water and then wring them out, put them on your feet, and put the wool ones on top. When you wake up in the morning, the socks will be completely dry.
Really?
And typically so will your sinuses.
So that's for sinus.
Uh-huh. Really? It's also great for chest. It's great for flus. It's great for colds. And especially for snotty babies.
Really?
I mean, it's a great way from the time they're born to work with your baby to protect their sinuses and their whole lung capacity and all the rest of it. It's supporting the circulation and drawing things downward.
Isn't that interesting?
I have never heard that before. It's so, you think cold, sinus, sick, you don't want to put wet things on your body. You think that that's a bad thing, but wow. I just had a girl at my part-time job yesterday tell me how impacted her sinuses was, and three times a year she takes antibiotics and was asking my opinion about this whole sinus thing. So this is a great thing to be able to tell her about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know for sure her situation, but most sinus infections will clear up very quickly with a homeopathic remedy called Calibic.
Calibic?
Yeah, it's potassium bicarbonate.
Huh. Good to know.
But it's homeopathic. It's, you have to do it in a potency.
Okay.
So I want to go back a little bit, Kate.
We need to go into 3 and 4.
Yeah.
I wanted to go into there too, but then did we determine how it's possible to know what your modes are?
Yes. So just, first of all, just know that if you can spike a high fever, if you vomit, if you easily, you know, if you get diarrhea when you're sick, those are all just your body releasing things really quickly. And if you're usually only sick for 24 to 48 hours, and afterwards you feel healthier from being sick, then you're reactionary mode number one.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And reactionary mode number twos, they tend to be more hypo. They hold on to things more. They're definitely much more emotionally sensitive. They will not spike high fevers. And they will be sick a lot longer than a day or two, typically. And typically, they feel good after they're ill, but they don't feel better. And they might feel a little bit weak after they've been well. And they might have things that linger. Like, you know, a lot of people who get flus will have a cough that lingers for a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So that's more of a reactionary mode number two. Okay.
That's what I feel like I am. Okay.
I think you are too.
Okay.
Most of us are reactionary mode number twos. There's so few ones out there anymore because from the vaccinations pretty much destroy our number oneness anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're in the popular crowd, you and I.
We're trying to move from two to one.
Well, I'd like to think that we're the most popular, but honestly, there's way too many number threes out there.
Are there? Okay.
And the fear is the level of number fours that are coming in being born at number four because of the heavy metals in our mouths when we're pregnant and all that kind of stuff.
Lovely.
Okay.
So, So then number three is when we do what we call crossing the biological shishura. So that's a big fancy word that basically means that we're no longer just having functional problems with the organs. The organs are starting to break down.
How would someone know if their organs are breaking down?
Well, we start seeing really major dysfunctions.
Okay.
And first of all, the autoimmune stuff is reactionary mode number three.
Okay.
So we have a lot of autoimmune stuff going on these days. Hashimoto's is rampant. We think about 80% of people who have hypothyroid actually have hypothyroid Hashimoto's. So any of the whole family of autoimmune diseases, many of them are actually reactionary mode number four as well.
Okay.
They usually have a three level and a four level.
Hmm.
So the beauty of this is if we know where we're at, we can start working with remedies that will start shifting the body's capacity to move us to the next level up, and those diseases start going away because they're just diseases themselves. Their job is to help our bodies to clear toxins or to bring things to our awareness that we really need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't really understand...
Oh, no. Do we lose you?
I think so.
I think we lost Meridian.
Did
Grace.
We lose Meridian?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. It doesn't say... Ah, here we go. Internet connection problem.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to take some listener questions towards the end of the show. So we will ask listener questions.
So hang on there, guys.
Towards the end of the show. Right now, Skype is doing us a favor trying to reconnect with Meridian. I just want to take a quick second and tell you about a couple different products. One is the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. We get so many emails asking us, you know, what's the best product? Is the sauna better than the biomat or vice versa? And I have to say, by far, our number one selling product is this Relax Far Infrared Sauna. It is so amazing. I love it so much. I use it every single day. In fact, I just got out of it. I spent 35 minutes in there today. The winter, I usually do about 40 minutes if I can. And then in the summer, I shoot for 30, but sometimes it's around 20. But I really don't miss that many days at all. I usually do it every single day. It's a great way to detoxify heavy metals, poisons, chemicals, all the stuff that we're taking in from our environment, from our fat cells. It helps to raise heat shock proteins, which is incredible for building your immune system. I think it has a 40% increase in your immune system when you're in this thing, because it stresses your body and causes you to sweat out all these toxins, and it causes all the toxins to be released through the skin. Every day we're breathing car exhaust, secondhand smoke. We're breathing in chemicals from our mattresses and from our cars and all that stuff. So you really want to detoxify your body. You gotta start getting onto sauna therapy. It's the best way. If you go to our page, extremehealthradio.com/sauna, or to be available on this episode too, extremehealthradio.com/420. It's probably easier to remember that. There'll be some videos on there, a couple different interviews we've done, and some videos from Dr. Rhonda Patrick, our show with Phil Wilson, a couple different, features of the sauna, some really, really interesting video from our man, Dr. Brian Clement. So check this thing out. I really think that all of you guys should consider getting this as part of your detox protocol. It's great because it's portable. It's low EMF. You don't have to, you know, break a wall down in your house and put this huge giant thing. And it's easy to do. And I watch documentaries in there. It's just awesome. It's the best. It's my favorite piece of healing equipment that we have. So check it out. ExtremeHealthRadio.com/sauna. And the other product I want to tell you about really quickly is the Bellicon Rebounder. That is probably my second favorite piece of equipment. And I do it in conjunction with the sauna. It's really great because it allows your lymphatic system to disperse chemicals that get stored in your lymph system. And your lymph system is incredibly important, and nobody seems to talk about it. No one seems to talk about the lymphatic system. And, you know, whenever you go to the doctor, they always check your lymph nodes if you're sick, because they'll be swollen because they're accumulating toxins and poisons. And in our culture, we don't detoxify our lymphatic system, namely because we just don't even know anything about the lymphatic system, but also because it's filled with one-way valves that only open and close if you jump up and down. And so it's incredible for detoxifying your lymphatic system, and you have more lymphatic system in your body than you do blood. So I do it right before I do the sauna, and it's awesome to do in conjunction, one right after the other. And it's also really cool too, because it tones and strengthens every single cell in your body. So it's a cellular exercise. You know, it's not just for those people wearing leg warmers from 1980. This is really cool stuff. And I'm a guy that works out in the gym. I do Qigong. I do all kinds of stuff. I surf a lot. And I used to always think the people that rebounded were crazy, but I've been so addicted to it, and it's fun. You get these endorphin rush, especially if you do it right when you wake up. And another thing that it's really great for too, despite being a cellular exercise, is that it's great for building bone density. And it's a great way to do that, because it puts stress and tension on all of your muscles in your body, and your muscles are connected to your bones, which causes your bones to become stronger. It's awesome on so many different levels. And I highly recommend the Bellicon Rebounder because it's silent. Doesn't make any noise at all, because it uses flexi ropes, which makes it like a real trampoline, the kind that you used to have when you were a kid. And you should just check these things out. They're really great. We have the one with the folded legs, so go check those out. ExtremeHealthRadio.com/Bellicon. Highly, highly recommended. Highly recommended. I think you guys will love these things. So that's about it. Check them out, extremehealthradio.com/Bellicon, or if you can't remember all that, just go to this show page, which is 420, extremehealthradio.com/420. All right, that's about it. Let's get back to the show.
Where do we leave off with her?
Reactionary mode number 3, and she was talking about how people can migrate from a 3 to a 2.
Oh, and the organs shutting...
The shutting down of organs.
And the autoimmune.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's so many people that we know. You know, and so many people are being born today that are so sick.
That's the thing.
Oh, gosh.
Like she was saying, they're being born at a 4.
Oh, my goodness. Did we lose each other?
But we're back.
We're back. Apparently, okay. We're back. We'll take it.
The gods that be did not want that info. It's all good.
Yeah. So where did we stop?
So we were talking about, where were we? Whoops.
That is strange.
That is strange. Meridian, can you hear that noise?
No.
Oh.
You know what?
Hold on. We hear a really bad buzzing our end.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Okay, yeah, there's a really strange buzz. If that happens again, we'll call you right back, okay?
Okay.
But I think we're talking about the people...
In
the third level, right?
The autoimmune things, and then more, obviously, people that are being born with these things, that is going to be a bigger problem.
Right, right.
Oh, holy moly.
So, I was also starting... I was talking to the air, but...
I know.
I was talking about the autonomic nervous system and how in Europe we understand that autonomic nervous system has to do with regulating all these sorts of things,
okay.
Regulating these reactionary modes,
mm-hmm.
and regulating our whole system. And any emotional piece that we stuff for many good reasons, you know, and we don't deal with, if it's important enough, our bodies will choose to communicate to us the only way it knows how, which is through the biology, and that's through one of these physical issues.
Okay. So do you think every disease has a spiritual emotional root behind it?
I think almost. I mean, I haven't found... Well, I can't say that's true. I was going to say I haven't found one. But when you think about things like Hiroshima, you know, people dying from radiation poisoning and, you know, big things like that. But still, there's probably some deep spiritual, emotional reason why somebody is there in the environment, having the primary external cause be something from the outside.
Yeah, because you could say that there was some sort of something had to have happened on a spiritual level in order for them to have created a situation where they were being exposed to. But that gets into some freaky, weird, woo-woo stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, those karmic appointments, you know.
Yeah.
What we talk about mostly is anniversaries. And it's more like something happened to our ancestors, and we're loyal to the issue, and we want to write things for our DNA line for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And far more important than me as an individual is our whole clan. So in order to protect the future of our clan, we, part of our debt that we owe to get this opportunity to be here in a body, I've never said it this way before, but it's a possible way of looking at it,
mm-hmm.
is that we carry a portion of our ancestors' issues.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really, really exciting work having to do with the ancestral lineage and what we call conception orders. And there's ones, twos, and threes that we use as the foundation, and then 4 becomes in the 1 line, 5 goes in the 2 line, 6 goes in the 3 line. So the 6th conceived child. So we include in this list any children that were aborted, miscarried, or stillborns.
Hmm.
They're all still part of the energetic family, mm-hmm. the clan.
I wasn't aware of that until we came to your house and I worked with Dr. Massey a bunch on a baby that my mom had lost before me. It was quite interesting and I never even had given it any thought.
Yeah. It's so powerful, honey, when we start looking at it. Like recently, I think y'all know I had open heart surgery.
Yes, yes.
And I mean, it was pretty amazing, the whole setup and how it all happened. I had no symptoms before I went in, and 2 days afterwards, I was walking steps after getting a new valve and having my chest cracked opened.
Wow.
But Rich is so sensitive to all of these, the numbers of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we figured out when we looked at our cycles that the date that I had, which was changed last minute for my surgery, was the day of my birth. So when I took, I basically, my heart was stopped.
Oh my gosh.
And my first new heartbeat and my first breath on my own happened on the same day that I was born, far as my cycles went.
So the same day of the week?
No, not the same day of the week. The same day cyclically, which only happened for me 3 times in my life so far.
Oh my goodness.
Oh.
And that was randomly done, I guess, not randomly, but it was
scheduled out and happened to fall on that day.
Well, I actually worked with an Ayurvedic doctor and astrologer to find the perfect day for doing the surgery.
Wow.
And we were trying to set that up. And then I got a call a few days before the surgery that they couldn't do it on the day that we'd set. And I was kind of I was not happy about it.
Our attachments to things, right?
Oh my gosh.
And then we, you know, like months later, we figured that piece out.
Mm. Isn't that
fascinating? And for me, it was an aortic valve, right? And the aortic valve is the energy of the father. And actually, it tells the story of the father kicking the child out of the house.
Hmm.
Well, in my ancestry, there's a lot of Holocaust stuff. And one of the things that happened is that children, the family didn't realize that the Holocaust, or that it was going to really happen and that Hitler really was going to take away everything and kill them and send them off to concentration camps. And when they got that, there were people that really hustled to try and find safe havens for their children.
Oh.
And they had to send their children to other people's homes that they didn't even know, just to keep them from being murdered. So that's in my family history.
Because that's not heavy or anything.
No.
Having to kick the child out of the house.
Yeah.
I mean, because it makes no sense. I had the perfect blood work. They said they'd never seen such good blood work. And yet the cardiologist and the a surgeon said they had never seen such a stenosed valve. They couldn't believe I could stand up and walk without fainting, let alone dance for 2 hours and work and do everything else.
Hmm. Wow.
So somehow the body registered this, even though there was the only one place of calcification, which was that communication from the autonomic nervous system, so that I could work with healing that piece, giving it back, and also giving thanks for my life and for all the sacrifices that happened in order for me to be here.
Isn't that fascinating?
Wow.
All of these things coalesce into one circumstance and situation, and the fact that it happened on the same day of your birth, what an amazing thing.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I just can't believe that we carry as much as we do from how many generations. I mean, how far back since the beginning of time are we carrying little bits of our ancestors?
Well, we probably are, but when we look at this for this kind of work, we usually look 3 generations back if we can get the information. But then it's amazing, even if you don't have the information, there's ways to start discerning it and to invite it to come in. So many people tell us these wild stories about how they get a weird phone call or, you know, Facebook from somebody who tells them something about an ancestor.
It's like, when, if it's meant to find you.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah, so if it's meant to find you, it'll find you.
You got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's the fourth?
The fourth one is like this person I told you about, this young man where he's getting the fistulas. It's okay. When the body's breaking down. It's when we have severe cancers and things that are literally breaking down the tissue,
mm-hmm.
where we have things that are opening up, you know, airways that are just... The body can't function any longer, and the tissues are breaking down.
But it's not too late for these people.
No, not if we get started with working with these remedies and understand that we can support the body from a much deeper level to start being able to rebuild itself.
Right. And that's
on the functions.
And that's so through a ton of different ways, through homeopathy and physical detoxifications, as well as the spiritual emotional work, correct?
Well, yes. There's spiritual emotional work. There's homeopathy. There's something called gemotherapy, which is working with those buds we were talking about. Mm-hmm. There's something called biotherapeutic drainage remedies that are very specific, that have been worked with for like 100 years in Europe, that are designed to work with supporting the drainage of the system, but also those communications to the autonomic nervous system to help it focus on putting its attention on educating the body to move into a new way to detox.
Mm-hmm. So it's like what you guys talk about all the time. It's almost like a re-education of the body, and to offer it things that it's going to be wanting to work with, right? So it's re-educating the body to work properly. And once you do that through all these different modes, modalities, then the body can accept those offers and to start working the way it's supposed to work, right?
Yes, except I'm a little careful about that word re-education, because really I think what we're doing is we're doing our best to identify places that are blocked and inviting the body to release those blockages so it can do what it knows how to do best.
Okay.
Because it knows, our body knows, like that kidney doctor was talking about, you know, when he understood that the kidney knows more than spending a whole life of studying the kidney. It's doing what it's doing because there's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get rid of the reason, you know, if we can help the body to clarify the reason that it's got to function at this level and open up a door to a new answer for the body to choose.
Okay. So interesting. So the level fours, are there any other characteristics of a level four other than tissues breaking down and
major disease,
exhaustion, tiredness, weakness, oftentimes intense depression.
I was going to say, like, hopelessness seems like it would be up there, doesn't it?
Hopelessness is there. Suicidal tendencies are there. Severe schizophrenias are there. There's just, you know, all that whole realm of things breaking down.
Interesting.
Breaking down the concept of ourselves, breaking down the physicalness of ourselves.
So when someone's in a level four and they are starting to feel like this is going on, mm-hmm. What would they do?
There's a lot of things. I mean, first of all, it's really a good idea to not make it harder on the body. So eating healthy is really important. Eating clean, not adding more toxic exposure than you have to. You know, looking to just the simple things in your world, like, you know, are you right by a power plant? Are you sleeping by, you know, an electrical meter? Do you have a computer on in your bedroom and a cell phone right by your head?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just those basic kinds of things. Being out on the earth, spending half an hour a day at least with your feet on the ground, or if you can, lying on the ground.
Yeah.
And in the sunlight, and receive the nourishment from those things. If you don't have a beloved in your life to hold, to touch, to be close to experience that tenderness, get a dog.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, touch is so incredibly important. Tenderness, love, somebody, something to look to you for that sweetness, and for you to look to for that sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure that you have people in your life that are loving and supportive to you. There's some basic things like hot baths. Epsom salts baths, detox baths, baking soda baths. We like to do some work with hydrogen peroxide baths once a week or once a month. Mm-hmm. Those are all helpful in opening up certain among trees.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can work with somebody who can help you open up the among trees that have to do with the brain and the heart and the emotional levels and looking at what physical parts of the body are being affected, that can be very, very helpful.
If you mean for a level four person, or I guess just for anybody really.
For anybody.
Right.
But, you know, in the beginning, it really helps to have somebody guide you. And then, you know, a good practitioner is going to teach you to be pretty much on your own. So you only have to come and see them once or twice a year or something mm-hmm. like that.
And I suspect, too, that when you do these acts of self-love, even though on a physical level they're affecting your body and your physiology and the actual cells and things, I suspect that something's happening on a deeper level where you're actually, you know, making a decision to take care of yourself and to love yourself. And something is happening much deeper when you decide to sweat in a sauna or take a bath or do something like this, right?
Yes, honey. I mean, it's such a, goodness gracious. we're beginning to understand this even through science now.
Mm-hmm.
The quantum physics is really showing us that we're all connected, that every thought that we have affects not only us, but everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we do something out of loving kindness, whenever we do something that's from a place of a softening of the heart rather than a hardening of the heart, and an opening to the healing powers that we might not even know about, just inviting healing energies and kindness into our lives,
mm-hmm.
and the ability to be strong and healthy enough that we might be able to give back.
So it's important to know where you are in these four levels and these four reactionary modes for detoxification before you start doing any sort of intense detoxification, right?
I think so. And honestly, at this stage of the game, when people come to see me and they want to do a detox protocol, I start them with drainage remedies for where they're at.
Okay.
And then if they still want to do, if they don't feel like they got what they wanted, you know, from that, then I'll take them through the heavy duty detoxes.
Now, what about people that do, see, this is sort of me. I sort of veer away from heavy detoxes myself. Just, I don't know why. I just would prefer to do little bits of detox every day. So I'll do the sauna every day, or I'll do, sometimes I'll drink like a little, like I'll juice one lemon and put a little olive oil and do that before bed rather mm-hmm. than doing a big cleanse. Mm-hmm. For someone like me who does something every day, is that probably a little bit safer?
You know, think? Sweetie, everybody's different, but I love the idea of having a healthy lifestyle. I mean, that's really where it's at.
Okay.
Having habits that support being healthy. I mean, that's how I live. I mean, every day I do all kinds of things that are considered to be detox sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
I had colon cancer many years ago, so I just know that if I take really good care of my body, it takes really good care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I function like a person who was born with a really healthy body, even though that was the furthest thing from the truth for me.
Right, right.
So we can rebuild. We don't have to be a reactionary mode number four. We can come all the way up to a one.
I like it. Now, are there any books or any resources online where people can learn more about these four different reactionary modes?
You know, I just went online to see if I could find anything, and I couldn't. And unfortunately, at this point, the only thing that I know of is to be a practitioner and to work through Soroyal. And Dr. Guignot, who is my primary teacher, is no longer in this body, but there are a group of his students that come from Europe and teach in Toronto.
Okay. Fascinating.
So that's where I did my studies years ago.
Okay.
In all of this. But
is it hard to find a practitioner if someone isn't close to you guys? I mean, if they look up the four reactionary modes and practitioner together, are they going to be able to find some good resources to work with?
Probably they are going to need to look up things like European homeopathy.
Oh, okay.
European homeopathy. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, or European naturopathy.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe like they could do European naturopathy in their zip code or something.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And see if something comes up. And, you know, we do work with Skype. with people anywhere. So, you know, that's a possibility too. You could also try calling Seroyal.
How do you spell that?
S-E-R-O-Y-A-L. They're a company that brings these different remedies from Belgium to the United States.
Are those all those remedies when we went down into your room at your house? Are those all the remedies you have there?
Well, I have...
You have thousands of them.
I do. And I have... Many of them are from Seroyal, but I also have remedies from Italy and from France and from Germany and from many different places.
Interesting.
So, yeah, but Seroyal, I carry a huge inventory of Seroyal.
Okay.
She's a mad scientist
down
there.
Mad scientist.
Seroyal. I've had some.
National Pharmacy.
I know, right?
I feel like I've used a Seroyal. I've used something from them before.
From them, have you?
Yeah.
Meridian, is it okay if we take a couple questions here at the end?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Let me see if I can get through a couple of these.
You want me to read the first one?
Sure.
Yeah, there's a few. If we can get to them, we'll kind of rapid fire them. But Nick asked, does Meridian have any advice to heal liver cirrhosis due to copper toxicity?
Yeah. Yeah. So first of all, you're going to want to work with things that are you need to know what mode you're in, but typically cirrhosis is a 4.
Okay.
So you want to work really gently, and I'd have to look up the specific remedies that are 4s, but we're going to want to work with what we call soric miasm. I'm sorry, not soric, luetic miasm remedies that would match his symptoms that are going on for his liver.
Does someone search for that? How do you say that word or spell it?
Luetic. In his situation, I would really encourage him to find somebody to work with.
Okay.
Because he's not just dealing with some little gallstones or something.
Right, right.
So I would look at that. But you might want to read about the luetic miasm.
Okay.
And the liver itself has a lot to do with anger and grudge. And so you might want to take a look at just before the cirrhosis started, if there were some major issues around anger or grudge, and look back, divide how many years, let's say that happened at age 42 and 6 months. You might want to go back to 21 and 3 months and see if there was something also that happened at that time.
Interesting. So you can keep dividing that in half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
To see, that's one of the many ways of looking at these cyclical anniversaries. And typically when we have a serious disease like this, there's been 3 or 4 major hits that have happened at these anniversaries hit.
Interesting.
Cancer is usually the 3rd or 4th time that an anniversary has come around.
Yeah, because don't they say that every person deals with cancer, you know, 3 or 4 times in their life, but they don't even know it?
Yeah, and some people say we all have it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bunch of interesting ideas about it, but it's just that we're keeping it in control. And the way that we look at it, and it's making more and more sense to us the more people that we've worked with cancer from this point of view with, is that the tumor itself is actually the healing of the cancer. And we get in the way of the healing with all these things that we're doing and scare the bejesus out of people and weaken their whole capacity to heal.
So that's a whole separate stuff that gets
huge
into
discussion.
Recall
yeah, yeah.
healing. But the tumor is actually the healing.
Uh-huh.
So fascinating.
You heard it here, people.
Yes. Okay. So Katie.
Here's another interesting one from Nick, and then we have a couple more for you. Nick says, I've heard different metabolic types use magnesium and calcium opposite to each other. Magnesium might relax one person's muscles or contract in another. Can mm-hmm. Meridian expand on this?
It's true.
It's true.
You know, that's the bottom line. And so it's really helpful to know what your body type is.
Okay.
It has to do with the soil in the land of your ancestors.
Oh, gosh.
So if the soil where your ancestors were was really, really rich in magnesium, then you wouldn't need to eat magnesium because you had plenty of it all. I mean, you wouldn't need to take extra magnesium because your body
would be
was just bathed in it. It was in the water. It was in the soil. It was in the plants. It was in everything that you ate. But if you were in an area that was depleted of magnesium, then you would be a person who needs more magnesium-rich food. And your ancestors, in order to survive, would have to come up with a mechanism to make up for that magnesium that wasn't there. So their bodies would have to learn to function well without magnesium.
Gosh, how would you ever know about the soils of your...
Right.
Isn't that bizarre?
We find out about it not from the soil, but we find out about it from the way people answer these unusual questions that are part of the metabolic typing questionnaire.
Oh, I see.
They have to do with magnesium absorption and utilization.
Okay. I tell you what, our ancestors, the people that live 6,000 years from now, because we're able to document, people are doing YouTube videos and podcasts and they're talking about, they're taking pictures of themselves. It's going to be so easy for them because they're going to look back at us and be able to really, really figure out.
Chronicle right back to us.
I know.
Yeah, ours is the hard stuff. Ours is the hard work right now.
Yeah, because, you know, hundreds of years ago, we don't have much to go on. But yeah, these questions.
I don't think they're going to want to do what we're doing, though.
What's that?
I don't think they're going to want to do what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's true.
So true.
That's true.
Another question, I'm working my way back to the top. Does Meridian, this is Jenny, does Meridian have any knowledge of, I'm going to blow this word, prophylaxis on vaccination alternative?
Yeah, I've actually been trained in doing homeopathic prophylaxis for vaccinations. And also for people who want to travel abroad, you know, the different vaccinations they want you to take. There's ways of doing homeopathic prophylaxis for those as well.
So there is. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. That's kind of a big deal going on right now. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge. And there's even a bigger deal to work with how to clear our children and babies, especially young kids who are showing signs of severe brain issues shortly after a vaccination. There's a whole science of working with clearing that as well.
Okay, great. At the very beginning of the show, I told a guest we'd get back to their question, who says, I have a question about what she does. How does she deal with people who have high histamines and react to everything, including broths, kefir, fermented stuff, and animal proteins? The only thing that helps with the racing heart I get is a low-fat vegan diet. Any suggestions on where to begin? I'm dealing with a very sensitive gut and SIBO.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so we want to deal with the SIBO piece big time, but we really want to work with homeopathics because it sounds like this is a really sensitive person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure for, I mean, my first thought intuitively is homeopathic histaminum, which is homeopathic histamines, and seeing if we can get this histamine function under control.
And that's a really big deal. A lot of people have had that. Our next door neighbor, my really good friend Teresa, has it. It's something I wasn't even aware of. It's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
There's people who have issues with glutamates and with ammonia and clearing and with histamine clearing. So it's a huge deal. And, you know, this type of person, I would really recommend that they do some recall healing work. Because when you get to the underlying emotional cause, this stuff can clear up and you can have your food back.
Huh.
There's, you know, really deep issues around, perhaps there was a famine in the family line somewhere and feeling like if you ate, others wouldn't live.
Oh.
And always we want the parents to live so they could take care of the kids.
Right, right.
So it can be, you know, something that has nothing to do with what happened to her in her own life.
Yeah.
And then again, it might. So I don't know them offhand, and I didn't bring the book upstairs to check things out.
Okay.
But I would look at doing homeopathic work and work on building up the strength of her emunctories first with the liver and then her whole digestive system. And working with doing pulse testing to see if she's really actually having a sensitivity to this food at the time that she's having it. And I like to start people with really nourishing foods that we know about slowly. So even if it means smelling them and then going to the place of having a few drops every few days.
Yeah, it's funny that I've had such a sensitivity to so many things. And, you know, I think sometimes I feel sorry for myself and I'll do a couple bites of something and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'll do myself in by taking a couple bites of, and I think that's small.
Yeah.
And my whole family will laugh at me being like, a couple bites won't do anything. But when you're in this place of an altered system, it's amazing what you
how
can react to, a drop of something.
Mm-hmm.
So slow is the name of the game with this, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the research on gluten is showing that one bite can give you reactions for 6 months.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Oh, man.
Yeah. For people who are really sensitive.
Okay.
So, go ahead. One other thought I wanted to ask Meridian about the histamine thing. I'm sure you're familiar with this, and I don't know if this would be good at all because I'm not, I haven't really researched it that much, but would NAET be helpful for this type of situation?
You know, I have mixed feelings about NAET. I studied with the doctor who developed it when she first developed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have doctor friends, everybody, there's always these pros and cons. So some of the European docs say that NAET just suppresses the allergic response. But suppressing the allergic response can be a godsend if you don't have any foods.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And as you start building yourself up and getting stronger and healthier, doing the biological drainage, the biotherapeutic drainage, and doing the homeopathics. And actually, I didn't even mention organotherapy, which is homeopathic organs, which teach your organs how to function normally and healthfully again.
What does that look like?
It looks like homeopathic remedies.
Oh, okay.
Taking drops of, doesn't taste like organ meats. But
oh, okay.
I mean, there is actually organ therapies where you take organs and put them in the blender with other stuff and drink them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's part of a lot of cancer therapies to do that with liver, by the way.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Okay, so, great.
So we got one last question?
We got one last question. Sorry, my little thing went, my screen went black here.
Fade to black.
I thought this was interesting. Let me get back to it real quick. Along with this, okay, so the person who asked that question also said they can't digest fats, and if they eat meat, this is interesting, they get a racing heart and twitches at night, and all this evolved from antibiotics last year.
Okay, so what needs to happen is she needs to be, we need to find out what that antibiotic was, and she needs to have a homeopathic of that antibiotic to pull it out of the system.
Interesting.
But we also really want to look at the whole bigger picture as well, and yeah. Why should it be that sensitive?
So that's something, so people can work with you, like you guys can guide them in what to do. I mean, they can have a Skype consultation and then they can work on their own, but you guys can give them a real good sense of where to go. Cause this person's been going back and forth with me so frustrated about their health. And I just want to say, keep charging, keep hanging in there, work with someone like you guys or someone else this knowledgeable. And there's always hope to heal.
Mm-hmm.
There really is.
Cause I know it can get really, really overwhelming at times, but,
it takes an enormous amount of patience and, you know, realizing that this didn't happen overnight.
Right.
And even though it looks like it may have just been because of an antibiotic, the sensitivity to the antibiotic is really the issue here. Why was she that sensitive?
Right,
like she was
right.
Probably at a low end of 2 or beginning 3 to have that kind of a strong reaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
Well, let's all work on getting all of our organs to level 1. How about that?
Yeah. We want them to be singing, happy, laughing, dancing. You know.
I know, right? And that way we can go enjoy life and do our work and do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So many people in the chat room were asking, do you guys work with Recall Healing? Do you guys work with people over Skype? And you do, right?
Yes. Answer is yes, yes.
Okay. So people can call you up. And your website is, for people that have not seen it, awakeninghealth.com?
Yes. And please forgive us. We definitely have not done anything to upgrade it in such a long time. And there's not as much presence of Rich on there as it should be, as there should be.
Okay. But people can go on there, get your contact information and call you up.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
great.
That's awesome. Okay.
And they can go on to your archives and listen to our talks and
awesome.
All that kind of good stuff.
I love it. I love it. You guys are doing some great stuff. Well, thanks for being on today, Meridian.
It's my pleasure.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, both of you. This is such a service you're doing for the community and the world at large.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, if there weren't people like you, I mean, it's pretty easy to ask questions. So
we'd have no one to talk to.
You guys are doing the real work. So.
Yeah, you are doing the real work.
Well, we also need to have people to share this with because there's not many people who are interested in exploring at this level. So
that's right. True. That's true. But when you're sick, you'll try anything, at least hopefully. So, all right, so people can go on and check out Meridian at awakeninghealth.com. And if you want to catch any of the show notes of today's show, it is extremehealthradio.com/420. And we do broadcast live every Friday morning. If you would like to join us and make some friends in the chat room, a lot of people are interacting with each other there.
So fun.
Yeah, making some good friends. That is at extremehealthradio.com/live. Or if you're a social media person, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm reluctant to say that I'm on Twitter, but we are on Twitter, and that's where we let people know when we go live. So,
oh, brother.
There you go. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Please pass this show on to your friends. We really appreciate it. And if you're interested, contact Meridian and Dr. Massey at awakeninghealth.com. And this was, again, episode 420. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
Really love you guys. And that was a lot of fun. Thanks for your presence in the chat room and just being you. And
super fun, huh?
Everybody hang in there, and we're going places. So
that's right.
We love you, and we will catch you guys on the next episode.
Will do.
Awesome. All right, thanks, Meridian.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a pretty fun show, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I feel like that was just a really good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
To understand how our bodies work and not feel crazy if you're one of the sensitive ones that can't just take an over-the-counter detox and thrive on it or even not have mm-hmm. adverse reactions to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Yeah, it's really interesting because a while back, didn't your mom say something to you like, how can you feel your liver? How could feel?
And I've had many people ask me that. How do you feel your organs? What?
How could you feel that?
Yeah, you're not feeling that. I go, oh, I know I am.
It's funny because either they're one of those level fours or they're some sort of pitta body type where they can't feel their organs or they're so glued and gummed up from the diet and stress and fat and they're, you know, on their body and that they can't feel. Because for the most of my life, it wasn't until a couple of years ago. And I'd been into raw food and all this kind of superfoods, herbs, all this stuff since 2003. But it wasn't until a couple of years ago where I started feeling my organs.
Yeah, and you...
being aware of them. And that was basically kind of through you. It's kind of like osmosis.
It is. It's Organ Awareness.
Organ Awareness Month. It's National Organ Awareness Month.
March, you heard it here. No, but there is something to it. And, it's funny that you've kind of joined my world and that it's so bizarre. We've journeyed a lot together. We've had a lot of the same things. I don't know if that's because we're living together or we eat the same things or we do life the same way, but it is quite an interesting path when you're so close with someone and intertwined, you start having these same issues pop up. Have
you ever had someone or something happen where you ask someone how they're doing and they say, oh, my liver's hurting? And then your liver starts hurting?
Oh, totally. It's like power of suggestion.
Have you had that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever had that?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, to me, it's the power of suggestion. I remember being in some...
So you must be really sensitive then.
I think so, because I remember being in junior high. In some science class. And it probably wasn't even a dangerous substance. It wasn't like we were playing with mercury or anything, but we had these vials or tubes and we were doing these experiments.
Uh-huh.
And I remember the person next to me put a little bit of what they thought was the wrong thing to mix with the other and they freaked out and they're like, oh my gosh, I think I created this like, and you could smell it. It was like this like putrid vinegary smell.
It was like the smell when you make the volcanoes in science class.
Yeah. It was like sulfur weirdness. Yeah. But I remember the person saying, oh my gosh, like if we all inhale this, we're going to die. And they were probably making a joke. But I remember thinking,
this was a kid that said this?
Yeah. Like, oh gosh, I mixed something wrong. We're all, you know, we're screwed. And I remember instantly, it's like my body went into fight or flight and my blood just ran cold. And you start thinking, you're feeling messed up immediately. I'm like, okay, I can't breathe. My eyes are getting weird. Okay, I'm having a total reaction. Just the power of the suggestion of possibly something happening. And that's how sensitive I was. I went into full panic mode.
How old were you then?
And I think this is all just the adrenaline running, but I had, in my mind, I was like, we're all poisoned, we're all inhaling this, we're going to die. Like eighth grade.
Wow. So you're about 13?
Probably, yeah.
You know, I bet you the fact that you remember that, I bet you that goes on. Like if you imagine your life like a timeline, I bet you that's an event that has to be on there. Because remember we were talking with Meridian and she was saying traumatic events and then you kind of, you divide each block by two, by, you know, in half.
Yep. And then you keep going down from there.
So I wonder if that event would be on there somewhere.
So if that happened at 13, then she's supposing that something most likely happened around 6 or 7.
Uh-huh.
As well.
And then 26.
26.
And then double that is 52.
Interesting.
So.
Well, I just think power of suggestion is really, really important. And I think it's also very important the other way. You know, if we suggest that you're calm in the middle of a crisis or you're fine, you're okay, this isn't going to be the end of the world, even though it feels like it. Mm-hmm. I think it has just as much power that way to really resolve our panic and our pain to some extent.
Yeah.
Interesting show. I mean, why did I get off on that tangent?
I probably took you there.
You did take me there, but I can't remember. Oh, organ awareness.
Organ awareness month, yeah.
No, but isn't it interesting? I'm scared for people who don't feel their organs. You know, I used to think if you felt your organ, I'd freak out and think this was a bad thing. You know, your liver twinges, you start like, I hate it. It's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. But I think that's being back in tune with your body. That's being a human being, feeling how you're supposed to be feeling when something isn't quite right. Or,
and one of the things too, I think that too, like, you know, we talk about it a lot where people go get their blood tested and they see if they have some disease, but, or if your organ twitches, you know, you have some disease, or if you eat a certain food that you had a reaction to prior and the last time, and then you eat it a second time, you're just waiting for the ball to drop and you're waiting for all these things to happen.
Right.
I think that's where a lot of the spiritual work comes in, because we've talked about it before. We should all be getting our blood tested so that we can see how freaking healthy we can be. If we can improve, like, you know, if one of our levels is at a 50 and you know, an optimal number is at 100, well, let's try to get to 70 this time instead of getting your blood tested and looking for some, oh, do I have, you know, autoimmune disease? Do I have high heavy metals? Do I have cancer? Do I have...
Is my cholesterol off the roof? Mm-hmm. Like you almost looking, most of us look for something to be wrong with us.
You don't want
to
look for stuff.
Instead of looking for optimal health, you're right.
Yeah. And so I've had that happen many times where I've eaten something that my body's reacted to, and then I've just let some time go by and I eat it again and it hasn't reacted to it. And so... The second time I eat it, I don't want to be eating something like that and just be waiting for this same physical reaction to happen. I mean,
chances are it probably will.
It will, right? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Seems like it?
It seems like it. I don't know. Like, I had a massage, I don't know if I said this on air a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I don't think you did.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the middle of working with the awesome naturopath, Nikki Moses, who unfortunately at this point isn't taking any new clients.
She's not taking any new clients?
She's that busy, no.
Really?
She's awesome, and I got in.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But I've been working with her, making huge improvements with my health, and I'm on a slow balancing out of my body and slow detoxification, but it's lingering on over a long extended period of time. So you kind of start feeling better and you forget that you're still in the detox mode. And so I went to get a massage from the lady we've gone to for like 20 years and she asked me a particular area of my body if I wanted her to work on something for a longer period. And I said, yeah, my feet have really been killing me lately. So she worked on my feet for like 35 minutes out of the hour massage. Mm-hmm. Spent quite a long time on the feet. And
did she really for 35 minutes?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? That long?
Yeah, from my feet to my like knee, like my lower leg and my feet.
Oh my gosh.
So, and she was doing, and it hurt. It was that kind of like where you're wincing, but you know it's
like
good
rolfing.
For you. Yeah.
Yeah.
2 days later, I was thrown into full detox crisis. It wasn't her fault. And she probably had no idea that people could be that sensitive, but it took 2 days to really hit me. The next day I felt okay. By the end of the first day, I was like, oh, I don't feel that great. And by the second day, it was like laying on the couch, crying, feeling sorry for myself that the very worst had come back again, and it panicked me.
It just shows the
level of detox that your body's always doing.
I forget what kind of pain it was. It was in your stomach.
Oh, all my organs were acting up, and I couldn't eat anything. It was the worst.
How long did that last?
Intensely 24 hours, and I didn't feel 100% myself till about 3-4 days later.
You know what's weird is, what if on a subconscious level you knew, like, what if your subconscious mind knew that you needed to detoxify the last little bits of chemicals from doing hair that were stuck in your liver or your gallbladder or your organs, and so deep down your body knew it needed to create that
situation.
So you said to her, yeah, why don't you spend some time on my feet?
I've never said that once in 20 years. I've gone to her.
Yeah.
18 years or something.
So what if subconsciously, like, this was what you knew you needed to do to heal?
See, and that's funny because I was freaking out, like I said, feeling sorry for myself, thinking I'd done a world of damage to bring me back into that place that I was so fear going to.
Yeah.
And you said, well, what if that's actually a blessing? What if it's a good thing? you've got the, and I go, oh, you're right. Maybe this is a good thing. Maybe it dumped toxins really fast and doesn't seem gentle and it wasn't nice.
And your body knew it needed to dump those
toxins. But my body knew it and maybe it got things kind of rolling again. And I can't look at that as a bad thing looking back, although it's not fun to go through.
But in the same way that our bodies are infinitely intelligent, same thing with our subconscious mind. So there must have been a reason that you decided to tell her that. And so...
And go at that point in my detox journey and why I booked it for that day. And
yeah.
Well, yeah, it but must yeah. have. See, the thing is, though, is being a human, I think most people would be afraid to do that again, like you were saying. And so you and I were trying to schedule something because our awesome massage therapist is moving. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to get one last session in with her because we're going to miss her so much and she's amazing. But I booked the next one for us next week and I got a little nervous about that.
Oh, really?
And I thought, isn't this interesting that your mind just goes so many places and you're right, just because it happened once. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's going to happen again, but we go there so quickly in our heads. So
yeah.
Yeah. Wild journey, isn't it?
It's funny how the body's infinitely intelligent and we know what we need to heal. But, and so we'll create situations that will help us to do that. In fact, you know, it took us a day or two to figure out that, remember?
I do.
We couldn't figure out why you're feeling so bad.
I hadn't eaten any different. I hadn't done anything. And well, then I realized, of course I did. I did something huge. I did massage. I think we even become very, what's the word? Very out of tune with things because we get massages and we don't realize every time we don't react like that. So we think, oh, you hear that massages are detoxing, but do I feel it? No.
Not really.
Okay, I'm sure it's doing something good. It makes me feel good. Like it might be detoxing, it might not.
Right.
But I believe in the power of touching different meridian points and working with acupressure. I mean, there is super power in
all that stuff.
The touching and releasing of things on your body. So interesting, huh?
Fascinating stuff. All right.
All right.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us. This was episode 420. Isn't that the day that we, isn't that the pot, the marijuana?
That 420? Is.
420
or is that
422?
No, 420.
Is it 420?
It is.
All right.
I like that. I know that.
We should have had, you know, we should have had Rick Simpson on 420.
We should have. He would have been the perfect guest. I wonder if he would have been like, oh, guys, like, that's kind of cheesy.
That would have been actually pretty funny.
Yeah. Rick Simpson. All right, we got to get him on again.
Yeah, let's get him on again. Yeah. Rick Simpson. All right, so that was 420. So if you want to grab the show notes, like I said before, it is at extremehealthradio.com/420. And please pass the show on to your friends. And as you know, we're 100% listener supported. So visit our store. Buy through our Amazon link when next time you purchase gifts or anything on Amazon, books and things.
Please
continue to bookmark our link on Amazon and use that. It's a great way to support us. And thank you guys for supporting us by sharing any of our status updates on Facebook. We appreciate that. So,
and the more people we can help, the better. And I think who doesn't benefit from this knowledge, especially today? I mean, a lot of our shows, but this one's for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to do some detoxing, and we all do detox in a certain way. So understanding who we are and how we work is just for everyone.
Super
it's
helpful.
An everyone episode. So
yep.
Family friendly.
There you go. Family friendly. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. We appreciate your support any way you can give it. And we appreciate you listening and joining us. So thanks again. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Hey, everybody, this is Josie, Justin's mom. Don't tell him, but I know he would absolutely be really happy if you would sign up to his free weekly newsletter. And don't forget to share this with all your friends. This is the buzzing bumblebee signing off.
That was so good.
Oh my gosh.
No material on this blog is intended to suggest that you should not seek professional medical care. Always work with qualified medical professionals, even if you educate yourself in the field of live food, nutrition, and alternative medicine. I'm not a doctor, nor am I offering readers medical advice of any kind. None of the information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent any disease or condition. While information in this blog is discussed in the context of numerous conditions, it can be dangerous to take action based on any information in this blog or to start any health program without first consulting a health professional. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as a treatment/cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be continued as such. Always work with a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. This information is provided as is, and the reader/viewer assumes all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.